her son's grave, giving out a weary sigh. Seemed like death had a mind to follow her around in this lifetime. It was a sly shadow at her back, as single-minded as a dog on a hunt, as faithful, too. She heard a crunch of pine needles behind her, a rustling in the leaves blown from the nearby cottonwoods, and turned to see Mitty, the colored cemetery's unofficial groundskeeper.
"They got batteries for them things," he said,
nodding at the small radio while steadying himself by leaning on the concrete stone for Beth Ann Solomon, daughter and sister gone too soon.
"You send me the propane bill time you get it," Geneva said.
Mitty was older than Geneva, nearing 80 probably. He was a dark-skinned man and small, with two legs thin as twigs and ashy as chalk. He spent his afternoons in the small shed on the property, shooing off stray dogs and vermin. 5 days a week he was out here with a racing magazine and a cheroot, watching over the gathering of souls, keeping an eye on his future home. He tolerated Geneva's particular way of caring for the dead. The quilts in the wintertime, the lights strung at Christmas, the pies, and the constant hum of the blues. He was eyeing the sweets, reaching a finger to lift the foil for a better look.
"They peach," Geneva said, "and they ain't got your name nowhere on them."
The walk down the hill was always harder on her knees than the way up, and today was no different. She winced as she started toward her car, peeling off her husband's cardigan, one of the last ones in good enough shape to wear daily. Her 98 Grand Am was parked on a flat of patchy grass and red dirt abutting the four-lane highway. She didn't even get her keys out of her purse before she could see Mitty eating one of the pies. Geneva rolled her eyes. The man couldn't even show her the common courtesy of waiting till she was gone. She climbed into her Pontiac and eased slowly out of the makeshift parking lot, keeping an eye out for semis and speeding cars before pulling onto 59 and heading north to Lark. She rode the 3/4 of a mile to her place in silence, running through inventory in her head. She was down 2 20-ounce cans of fruit cocktail, 8 heads of lettuce, syrup for the soda machine, the Dr. Pepper she could never keep in stock, plus a bottle or two of Ezra Brooks whiskey, which she kept under the register for her regulars. She wondered if the sheriff had arrived yet, if the mess that had washed up in her backyard this morning was still there, that girl lying out there all alone. She had a vague worry about what all this might do to her business, but mostly she tried to comprehend what in God's name was happening to the town in which she'd spent all her 69 years. 2 bodies inside a week. What in the devil was going on? She eased off the highway, pulling in front of Geneva Sweets Sweets, a low-slung, flat-roofed cafe painted red and white. It had cinched curtains in the windows and a sign out front with a lit-up arrow pointing to the front door. Black and red letters advertised Barbecue Pork Sandwich, $4.99, and Best Fried Pies in Shelby County. She parked in her usual spot, a Pontiac-sized groove in the dirt along the side of the cafe, between the building's wooden siding and the weeds in the open lot on the other side. She'd been in this location for decades, back when it was just Geneva's, a one-room shack that had been built by hand. The paved parking spots by the gas pump were for paying customers. And Wendy, of course, Geneva's sometime business associate. Her ancient green Mercury was stationed right in front of the door. The rusting 20-year-old car looked like a pinata beaten past its breaking point, overflowing with old license plates, iron skillets, 2 wig stands, old clothes, and a small TV whose antenna was sticking out the left rear window. The tiny brass bell on the cafe's door rang softly as Geneva let herself in. 2 of her regulars looked up from their seats at the counter. Huxley, a local retiree, and Tim.